there is a problem that we could solve in 2 seconds if y'all just say one thing out loud, but they don't. Yes. So it's a whole episode of being like, just tell them.
I feel like it's like a sports car, and I'm doing that thing where, like, when you people buy a sports car, which
and
I don't agree with this.
And they put it in the garage.
And they don't drive it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to. This is my sports car.
You're trailer queening your shirt, and I think you should just,
trailer,
like,
garage. I think if you garage, trailer queen, I guess trailer queen would work, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, it's here now. It's out with us.
It is.
It's living. It's living and breathing. It's a great shirt. I wish there were variations of this very shirt.
Well, there is. You just don't like it.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I just like having all of my friends in one place, you know? Look at all of them. This is my hyperfixation.
It's very autistic of you.
Yeah, but again, they told me I'm not, so it's really... I am undiagnosed by the internet. I have an anti-diagnosis.
Yeah, all vibes by people who have never met you IRL.
They got a good... And like I said, we were just saying, they've spent an hour with me every week. Like, that's a lot more than I could say for a lot of people.
Some of them spent longer than that.
I was going to say something, but I think it was self-deprecating, so I don't think I'm going to, actually.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
And I won't.
You shouldn't. One of our friends today told me, you know how I do the thing to you where I'm like, do you ever think about, and then I tell you something that's really distressing?
Yeah.
I got, like...
The whole Otter thing.
I got, like, out, do you ever think about it today by our friend.
And what did they say?
We got coffee to hang out and, like, work on stuff and just catch up and whatever. And apropos of nothing, while we're just on our respective...
You were probably doing more of
little
this.
Computies. I was using the computer. I used Tabby today.
Oh, okay.
To send my little emails.
My little tech gesture.
Apropos of nothing, they look up at me and go, do you ever think about the fact that our bodies are made up of more bacteria than our own cells?
Is that true?
What?
That true?
Like our bacteria, like in our gut and on our skin and all of those things, there's like more of that than there is of us.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I'm like highly aware of my stomach now. Why did they feel the need to share that with
you? I don't know. Okay. I don't know, but I was like,
it's
wow.
It's a very them thing to do.
That's really distressing.
Hmm. I love learning new things. I do love knowing how
I
it
love
works.
Learning. Stay so, curious. Keep so, asking questions.
Hey, welcome to the pod, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
This
Hi.
Is We Should Unpack This.
And we're going to unpack it. Yeah. I can't wait. Oh, we accidentally started this. I definitely did the stereotypical, like, oh, what are you watching? Mm-hmm. And then I watch, like, I'm, like, standing there watching the show. And then I just, like, slowly creep to the couch as you're watching
Platteville.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh, you know, like, I'll sit for a minute. I got a couple minutes. I'll take a little breaky break.
And then it turned
and
into...
And next thing you know, I'm like, you want to watch another episode?
And also, hey, can you not watch that without me?
And that's when, that's when I got your ass. Well, you were
that's
using it to
know.
Fall asleep, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? We've talked about this before on the pod. For a while, I was using Critical Role content to fall asleep to.
Yeah.
Because I've been slowly working my way through campaign 2 because I want to know things. I've, you know, watched campaign 3 from the beginning, but I want to understand.
You want to,
yeah,
of
I
course.
Like the lore. So I've been trying to slowly watch my way through that. But I noticed that because I have D&D brain rot right now from DMing our own campaign, while I was trying to fall asleep listening to Critical Role, my brain was like world building. My little brain wouldn't shut up about like shop names and city layouts and like city planning and NPC backgrounds. And I was just like, bitch, shut up. Let me fall asleep. And she wouldn't shut up.
I don't know how, even like medications aside, like there's nothing I think that could stop. Like once you're creative or like once you're in the zone or like once you've turned that like little knob on your brain.
Yeah. It's
like
it's stuck.
It gets stuck.
It's a one way dial.
You cannot, you just keep spinning and spinning.
Yeah.
It's the SpongeBob.
It really is like those dials that like ratchet where like you can't turn it backwards, and so just the more you turn it up.
Fine dining in D&D.
Yeah,
you are good at it.
Yeah,
your map is coming along so well. Do you want to share a picture of your map?
We can. Yeah at this point, this is what I have done. I've hand drawn it, which was stupid,
except the cobblestones.
Yeah, obviously there's stamps and like, you know, brushes that I've used that are D&D map making brushes, but I didn't use like building stamps or anything like a lot of people do, and I understand now why those exist, because drawing buildings by hand, doing the texturing on all the roofs, all the little canopies and the, it's so much.
I can't believe people used to do that shit by hand. How did anyone used to do things by hand?
I don't know. They were less detailed, I guess.
I guess.
Because
that book Maui you got, Wowie. Though, was so helpful in learning how to draw.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is so cool.
I found a book at Bookman's, which is like a used bookstore here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. It's a chain, apparently. I didn't know that. That it's about like fantasy map drawing. Yeah. What?
No, because we didn't know that. We thought it was a Tucson thing. Yeah. And your parents are like casual, like, oh, we went to Bookman's.
And I was like, what the fuck
are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, that's ours.
I thought that was our thing. We have Bookman's. Yeah.
I wonder if maybe they moved up there or...
Maybe they started in Phoenix and just they're less popular there.
I love going there. I love looking at all the music
stuff.
Bookman's.
It's so fun.
I think it's so funny how similar we are to your parents because your dad goes and looks at drum sets and stuff. And I go look at... amps and guitar things.
Guitars, and I go look at bookie books. Yeah.
And your mom goes and looks at bookie books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so funny.
Isn't that funny for us?
I love it.
We also are going to have my parents on episodes of the pod separately. There's a bug, by the way. So if we
can't see it.
Interpretive dancing.
It's in there. There's not a ghost among us right now.
This whole time. This has just been an excuse for us to soft launch our interpretive dancing career.
Oh, I will do that. You should let me interpretive dance to your voice.
You should. I feel like you'd be really good at it.
You feel like I'd be good at interpretive dance?
Absolutely,
what
I do.
What gives you the indication? Like, what
you're so
about
creative.
Me? Oh, thank
and
you.
And you love using your little body.
I like using my body. I'm like a workhorse. Yeah. I like using it for arduous tasks.
Physically expressive. Like, exercise and all of that is really helpful for you.
Fair.
So I feel like you would really resonate with dance.
Speaking of dance... I've been shaving. I've been saving, and I want to share. I wanted to share and save.
Okay.
And it's shaving.
I also have something to share. It's in my backpack, though.
It's in BetPap? Do you want? I know where BetPap is.
Yeah,
do you want to go get it?
BetPip. I'm so cozy.
I know. I'll go get it happily. Do you want me to get it now, or do you want me to share my?
You share yours first, but just My little noodle.
Let me go get it now because we both know how this is going to go.
Okay, thanks.
Be right back. I keep finding myself in positions where I get to read to everyone on the pod, so I hope you don't mind my reading.
You have a good little reading voice.
Thank you. Please
share with the class.
I always, it was so scary in elementary school and stuff growing up when you
popcorn
used to do
reading.
Oh my gosh.
I loved
stressful.
It.
Stressful. Couldn't even pay attention to what was going on. I saved this because I think when you have a podcast, you're just supposed to exclusively do Am I the Assholes?
Yeah.
Now anytime I see one, I think of you guys, and I want you to know that I probably think about more thoughtful things for people that watch our pod than I do people in our real life. I don't know what that says about me.
That's not true. Not all people in our real life.
Oh, no,
just
not all
people,
but some people most definitely.
Yeah. Please share. Okay.
This is a twist on an old classic.
Okay.
The story we shared recently of Lou's dating experience and the wiping of like shitting yourself.
Yes.
So it's kind of in that vein.
Yes.
But it's
they
a twist.
Didn't shit themselves, to be clear.
No.
The person they run
no, in. Lou did not.
Yes. There's a bug.
I'm looking to see if I could see it. I keep seeing
I'm
it.
I'm trying
it's
to.
I know.
I'm going to clasp it. Just crush it in my little fist.
Okay.
Please share.
I don't even know why I do that. I'm not actually clearing my throat. If I just do this one, I'm trying to figure out where it's most comfortable for me.
This is the interpretive dance episode, and Aaron's only dance move is...
It's kind of like a squid. Like, I feel like a... Like, it's kind of a cool motion when you think about it.
Yeah.
You're probably thinking, like, did they fucking drop acid or something in there? Like,
I promise we are not
I'm
high.
I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin.
We're not high right now.
Okay.
Just
so,
silly.
Old twist on a classic. Am I the asshole for not warning my wife about my ass rag? From the sentence, from the top, I'm like, that is a title I need to read.
Warning your wife about your ass rag.
Ass rag. Ass rag. That sounds like a band name. Like, hey guys, what's up? We're playing some tunes for you.
Rag.
We're ass rag.
Band name called it.
But also, like, I continue, you know, as the internet evolves, and I'm like, this is definitely made up. Like, this is fake. Like, someone created this.
There's been a lot
like,
of that happening.
But there's a twist in here that I was like, that can't be made up.
Okay, well... Quit gilding the lily and tell us what
it is. I will ungild this lily.
Thank you.
Okay, context. My wife is weird about butt stuff. I'm already sold. That's not in there, but I just said,
okay.
I'm like, what are we talking, like in what way? I'm not talking about sexual butt stuff. That's obviously personal and up to the individual. I mean her unwillingness to acknowledge that anything comes out of butts or that people even have buttholes.
Okay.
I don't have an age here either, which I would have loved, but...
Sure.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. When we bought our house, I wanted to install a bidet, but my wife was against it. As someone now who owns a bidet, like I can't, like traveling.
Why would you be against that, though.
That was my first thought, too, because normally it's the other way around. This is from the male perspective. The male is writing the story.
But also, like, okay, sure. So even if she is the wife, is like, I don't really want to think about your butthole or my butthole.
Okay, fair enough.
Like,
sure.
Especially, like, women and, like, people who are targeted by misogyny end up with a fair amount of internalized shame because, like, we're not allowed to be people and, like, burp or fart, you know? So, like, fair. Maybe she's
like...
Sure, yeah, maybe she's working through all of that on her own self. But, like, even the idea of your husband cleaning his own butthole is so repugnant.
Why would you not?
Yeah.
That's, like, good
hygiene.
Because,
like, if you don't want to use the bidet, then you don't.
But I want one.
Someone else using it isn't inherently gross. In fact, that's, like, clean.
Also, this person brings up a very good point. I told her she doesn't have to use it.
Yeah.
But she said she's seeing... just seeing it would gross her out. I mentioned not feeling clean just from wiping with paper, and she didn't understand. Not everyone has naturally hairless assholes that barely require wiping.
Yeah.
She asked if I could find an alternative. I said I could use wet wipes, but they're not flushable.
Correct.
None of them are, by the way. Love that the person included this. Thank you.
Yeah.
This person is on it. Like, also, like, let this man just wash his ass.
But also, like, good for them, because clearly they're, like, aware. And also, if you didn't know, by the way, even wet wipes that say that they're flushable.
Not.
Oftentimes are not, and especially if you have a septic tank,
they will
that
fuck
can be
your shit
a
up.
Very, very expensive repair. So please don't flush that stuff
Didn't
down
that happen
the toilet.
To someone in your, oh, never mind.
Yes.
That was about something else.
Yes.
They were flushing something else down the toilet. We'll just let you guys figure that out. We'll leave that. Some things are best not shared.
Someone got found out
internet.
For flushing things down the toilet that ought not be there.
Ought not be there. So they'd have to go in the trash. She didn't like the idea of poopy things in the trash can.
Which totally valid. Yeah.
And told me to figure something else out that she didn't have to know about. So on to my ass rag.
No.
I took an old towel, tore it up, and installed a discreet hook behind the toilet to hang the rag. It's completely hidden. The way our bathroom is set up, we only have one. The sink is right next to the toilet, so I'm able to wet the rag, clean up, wash it in the sink, and hang it back up. I swap it out a couple times a week. Gross, maybe. But I figured that's my business since my wife did not want to hear about my butthole cleaning habits. Let me keep going before you're thinking, because you're like... Wow, that's ingenious, but also, like, kind of, that's,
ew.
Like, almost more disgusting. Like,
that's
this,
definitely
like,
grosser.
We put this person in a position where they needed to now do something more
I have many
repugnant.
Thoughts, but please just continue. I'm just going to I'll share my thoughts at the end.
Let's get to this M. Night Shyamalan and get this twist in here.
Sure.
Recently, my wife and I were showering together, and she forgot to bring in a washcloth for herself. I don't use one. Put that right back in your mouth.
No.
I use a Siskel pouch with bar soap. I offered to hop out and grab her a washcloth.
What's a Siskel pouch?
I don't know.
Well, how is it spelled?
A Sissel.
Sissel. Oh, okay.
I added a C in there.
I was like, what's a Siskel pouch?
Sissel.
I was in my brain. I was picturing S-Y-S-C-A-L-E.
No,
like
I'm sorry.
Siskel.
No, I'm sorry. Do you know what that is if I say it correctly?
Sissel. Sissel is, people use Sissel rope for cat scratchers. It's like a natural fiber.
Oh, that's cool. Like those are like the
cat scratch windy things.
Yeah.
The
okay,
ones that
cool.
we have to continually rewind because our cats are savages.
Yes,
yeah.
Savages. I offered to hop out and grab her a washcloth, but she said, no, don't worry about it. I'll just use yours and reach for my ass rag.
No!
I said, you don't want to use that. She asked why. I said, trust me, but she kept pushing. So I came clean about my ass rag. She was horrified, started dry heaving, and kicked me out of the shower. Apparently, she had been using it as a washcloth for years.
Yeah, this has been going on for years?
For years.
He has had an ass rag for years?
For years.
Oh, no. Oh, yuck.
Yeah, that was my reaction, too.
I would gag,
I knew
too.
It.
I would puke.
I knew it.
Poop stuff is a button for me. I just don't.
Also, there's no way it doesn't smell, right?
But also, okay, here's the thing. As people who use washcloths, we have a big stack of washcloths on
Oh, you turned me on to washcloths.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I use both. I use exfoliating.
We went through a phase where, like, we use loofahs like everybody else. And I was like, these are terrible for the environment. They're also really, like, they cling to bacteria and all that kind of, they're gross. So we started using, like, bristle brushes, except that the wood will decompose in the shower and fall off. It's very jarring when the head of your brush just pops off in the shower. So I was like, fuck it. We're going back to basics. We're just using washcloths. That's what I used as a kid.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. And we have a big stack of them on the, like, door, like our shower doors,
right? Yeah, sometimes I stack it so tall that you can't reach it.
Yes, and I have to ask for help. but here's the thing. When we finish using a washcloth, we hang it over the top so that it will dry so that we can throw it in the hamper, right? And there is such a distinct difference in the texture from a new one versus an old one.
Undeniably.
There is no world, no world where A, you don't notice that, and B, that I'm using a washcloth that has obviously been used before either. Eat, like, love you so much. Love you so much. And I'm not going to say that on camera, but I would never use one of your used washcloths if I knew that you had touched it. Cause, like, I don't know where that thing has been.
That's, but also, like, no, thank you know you. Where it's been. It's been in and around my bits.
In all your crevices. And I don't need whatever bacteria is from your crevices to be, that's just not right.
It's like the smelling the panties thing, but like times bazillion.
That's yucky. I don't understand why you would use somebody else's used washcloth. But also, can I just say, I feel like, yes, it sucks that his wife put him in this position.
Fair.
And also, if it's me, I'm putting my foot down. I would, before I get to the point where I have a hidden ass rag behind the toilet, I'm putting my foot down and we're getting a bidet. Also, don't look at it then.
I want to be clean. Like.
Or I'm using wet wipes or something. Like. There, or like a Perry bottle, even like a Perry bottle that you can just stash under the sink, because he said the sink is right next to the toilet. Yeah, so like put a Perry bottle that doesn't have to touch your butt. Like, that's clean.
Anything.
Lots of people use travel Perry bottles, but like, there are so many things that I would have explored before resorting to an ass rag that also only gets changed a few times a week.
I can't imagine, like, also. So then, if I'm picturing this correctly, so he's done using it, and like, I know this man is just trying to get his ass clean, like,
sure,
but like, so then, like, are there poopy bits on the rag and he's washing it in the sink?
And then
I hadn't really done that.
Unless we're sanitizing the sink afterwards, that is so thoroughly yucky. Everybody's been washing their hands in the sink that has little fecal matter on it.
You don't have to worry about keeping the lid down with you when you flush, because they're already everywhere.
Also, yeah, PSA, if you don't flush the lid to your toilet when you flush, you should, because it sprays water and
bacteria.
There's little bits of stuff in the toilet that get aerosolized.
Gross.
They can linger in the air in the bathroom for like minutes. And so, like, if your toothbrush is out or like any of your skincare products, like, just all that's getting poopy stuff on it.
Lid down default.
Why do we talk about poop so much on this podcast? The last like three episodes.
We have poop to unpack.
Yeah, we got shit to unpack.
Not on purpose. So for years, whenever she forgot hers, which is often, what I don't get is how she thought that was my washcloth, because A, it's hidden behind the frickin' toilet, and B, she knows I don't use a washcloth.
That's
weird. We got into an argument. From my perspective, it was obvious that my ass rag wasn't a washcloth.
Sure.
All bets are off when you use someone else's shit without asking.
Yeah.
And her butthole hangup is interfering with my personal hygiene.
That's valid.
From her perspective, I violated a clear boundary she set years ago, and I'm just an overall gross person. I did apologize, but I was upset and my apology wasn't really sincere. I'm sleeping on the couch right now to try and give her some space, but I'd like to know if I owe her a more sincere apology over the ass rag fiasco. I'm not really sure, and her reaction has me thinking that maybe I actually am disgusting and lacking the perspective to see it, but I also don't think her butthole aversion is normal, and it's the main reason I ended up resorting to the ass rag solution in the first place and not telling her about it.
I feel like everybody sucks here. There's no world where resorting to an ass rag is the logical conclusion.
That's what I'm thinking.
And also, her trying to say that he's disgusting is so unfair.
That's so mean.
Because that's like saying somebody who needs to shower is disgusting.
Yeah.
How dare you use a shower, because that makes you gross. Cleaning yourself doesn't make you gross.
That's what I'm thinking.
And also, him, like, the center of this argument is him wanting to be cleaner, actually.
Yes,
and her saying that he's not allowed to be cleaner, but then she's accusing him of being disgusting. That doesn't make any sense.
Like, which one is it?
That is nonsensical.
Oh.
I, like, everybody in this situation has some personal growth to do.
Like, I can't imagine.
Wow.
Being like, I would like to be cleaner.
And being somebody like, being like, gross.
No.
Huh? But also him not, like, really apologizing for the fact that she's been, like, probably washing her face with his ass. I would be mad. Even if it was my fault, I would still be mad at you.
I mean, how could you not?
I would want a sincere apology. Yeah. Yuck. I want to share this with you guys.
This is not real, by the way. It is real, but you're not a real Republican.
No, I'm not a fucking Republican. So here's the thing. I'm going to share with you guys a survey that what the fuck is the name of this organization?
National Republican Congressional Committee.
Okay. So
every member canvass.
Yeah. So here's the thing. This organization, this committee, sends me these surveys now, because I think they did the thing where they like blanket send shit to random people.
Yes.
And or somebody's trolling me because it had my like internet name on it. Because for those of you who don't know, Mickey's not my legal name. And so it's rare for us to get mail that is like just under Mickey. Like it's usually my legal name. And so that this came addressed to Mickey Adkins, which if that's the case, somebody has our address and that's a little spooky. But this survey came to our house one time and I can't control myself. And okay, but here's the thing. This survey, I'm going to share with you guys some of the absolutely asinine questions on this thing.
You just say more like ass questions.
Yes. Because I can't control myself, I filled out this survey with all of the wrong answers so that it was like fucking with their data pool. And then they also beg you for donations at the end.
Oh, fuck. They're so
needy.
And
so
talk about wanting handouts.
I sent this back with their prepaid postage. And the questions at the end are as follows. So like, your name, your occupation, your home phone, your email, all of that. I put
boring.
Like the name that they had listed on the front of this. And then for our address, I put something like pee pee poo poo town. and my cell phone was 420-6969.
Nice.
My email was like fuck Donald Trump at fuckyou.com or something.
It's just such stupid
kid shit. Yeah, being a child. But now, because I sent that one back, they keep sending me Republican propaganda.
They won't leave us alone.
So I want to share with you guys some of the stupid questions on this survey because they're really funny. And also, if this isn't proof about how conservatives and the like ultra right wing, you know, political right are obviously skewing the numbers and having
don't
to cook
them
the
to
book
do any statistics.
Yeah, in order to get the desired responses that they want. Like, I don't know what it is. So let me read you some of the questions from the economy and taxes section. Are you concerned that the Biden administration's printing of money at record rates to cover their massive spending will make the inflation that they've already caused even worse, and that it will eat into the future income of every American, especially retirees?
Not retirees.
Yes, no, or not sure.
The thing that cracks me up about that, too, is that the Republicans are actively trying to get rid of Medicare, Medicaid,
Social Security.
Social Security.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dumb motherfuckers.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has said that people who are having a hard time affording a tank of gas should just buy an electric car. The average price of an electric vehicle is $64,000. Do you believe that this recommendation is, check all that apply, out of touch, condescending, elitist, not helpful, or all of the above?
Oh, not big electric.
So stupid.
Like, also, too, why do they even need these? Like, just if you're already going to lie and skew the data points or, like, whatever you're getting from this, like, just lie.
Literally. Question number 23. Please note below the political traits that you most associate with Democrats. You can mark more than one. Oppose an assertive U.S. foreign policy. Communists. Anti-border and pro-immigration.
They did not put communists on there.
Scolding and condescending. Beholden to radical special interests, hostile to traditional values, too controlled by unions. This is my favorite one. Just weak. Free spenders who don't care about the federal debt, woke social justice class warriors.
Not the gays.
Anti-gun, out of touch with the average American, pessimistic and cynical, anti-freedom, pro-big government, or other. On mine, I just checked other and I wrote correct. Do you stand behind Republican congressional leaders and the NRCC in our work to counter the propaganda of the Biden White House and to make sure that the American people understand the clear differences between the Republican and Democrat agendas? Like, why are they so fixated on, like, the thing about this that's really funny to me, too, is that the assumption is that people who are leftists or Democrats or, like, not conservatives love Joe Biden.
Like
we don't like him either.
Because they're so obsessed with their own dude.
Yeah.
Fucking embarrassing.
Like, what the fuck?
But also, too, like, okay, the Democrat agenda and the Republican. What is the Republican agenda? I haven't known what the Republican agenda is in, like, 15 years.
I think there's actually something in here about that. Hold
is
on.
It say, hate all gays, get rid of the gays, make sure women don't have anything?
Yes.
Is that part of the...
Okay. A top priority of the Republican House majority is to return the United States to energy independence we enjoyed during the Trump administration. Do you agree that reducing or eliminating our dependence on third world dictators for our oil and gas is vital to our economic and national security? Which is like a really long and convoluted way to say, will you give us money so that we can exploit more of the Earth's natural resources and cause detrimental damage to the environment even further than we already have? That this is the thing that's so funny to me is that, like, if the take is like, oh, it's so bad for the United States to be dependent on foreign oil, why are you so opposed to the development of clean energy then?
What? It writes itself.
Hello?
The solution, right? Like, create the problem so that we can...
Yes, so that we can solve it with the thing. But then they
don't want to do...
No.
They could just...
They don't want to explore the most natural or logical conclusion. They want to explore the one that makes them the most money. So...
So how many people do you think worked on this? Like, one brain cell? Or, like, do you think they had two brain cells?
Yeah, I think they had to borrow it. They probably had to share back and forth.
They probably ChatGPT'd this.
My other favorite thing, it also comes with this little letter. And this is what it says. Dear fellow America, first patriot, I'm writing to ask for your input, your support, your help, and your prayers. We are in a fight for America's future. If we lose this election, I'm not sure our great country survives. Like, tell me that they this isn't love, propaganda.
But they also, it's so Christian, it's not even funny. Like, they just love a good end of the world. Like,
yes.
Just because y'all want to ruin your lives here and make it miserable for yourselves, and, like, the only time you get to enjoy yourself is after you fucking die.
Yeah.
Don't make it miserable for the rest of us. Like, shut the fuck up and worry about your fucking selves.
Yes. Also, this is my favorite line. Barack Obama and his leftist fellow travelers told us their goal from the very beginning, to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Which is bad.
Also, Obama?
And then this in all bold. And Joe Biden and the radical Democrats are working at breakneck speed to finish what they started.
What did we start?
I don't know.
And breakneck speed?
Transforming America, which is terrible. Transformation, growth, we don't know her.
Also, Joe Biden and radical in the same sentence.
Literally.
Like, the most give me a break.
Milquetoast, basically Republican Democrat president, and they're talking about how he's too radical leftist.
God damn.
Huh? Yeah, I thought I would share that with you guys since I'm being plagued by the mail.
It wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be, but it was informative.
It is a little silly, though.
It is a little
like
silly.
The way that they word the questions is hilarious.
I like to be so unaware. What must it be like?
It sounds kind of nice. It sounds sort of.
It must be nice.
Like, I feel gentle. Like
it's giving the that influencer on TikTok who totally the normal person and went to the Met Gala.
Yeah.
And totally.
She's totally not elite.
Totally not elite. And apartment is she's like totally not
person.
$20,000 a month.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Totally. Also, you can just tell when people are so fucking out of touch.
Yeah.
And they try and do an apology or they try, and then they just put their foot in their mouth farther.
Yes.
Because it's like when the Kardashians try and fucking do anything.
They try,
like,
to be normal.
Like, y'all, like, you are. So,
you,
like,
you've so thoroughly
you
lost the plot.
Also, it's the thing, like, if you're going to be rich and out of touch and, like, just, like, disregard the surf class.
Yeah.
Then, like, that's fine. Just do that. But then don't try and play pretend. Like, oh,
it's
we're
especially
all in this
insulting.
Together. Like, it's the singing during COVID thing again.
Yes.
Like,
I already hate you if you're going to be, like, a billionaire, like, elitist. But I especially hate you if you're going to insult my intelligence by pretending, like, everybody can't see the fact that you're trying to cosplay a normal person and failing miserably. Like, shut up. Stop that.
I think Kendrick allowed me to realize that being a hating ass sometimes can be for good.
Mm-hmm.
And should be used for
good. I feel very
good.
Validated in this era of, like, just being an open and honest hater
because
about a lot of things.
We had a really good conversation about this, too, sometimes. Yeah. Is...
Did you get it?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I did.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
some,
I did.
Some killer reflexes there, punk.
That's interpretive dance. Capoeira.
That's what makes it hip-hop.
That's what makes it hip-hop. Speaking of hip-hop. We had this conversation, and, like, I almost trust people less when they aren't clear or they're, like, cool with everybody, you know? Or, like, when you have no idea what they actually...
Yes.
Like, if nothing irritates you, then I'm, like...
First of all, you're a liar.
You're telling me nothing gets under your skin?
But second of all, that means you stand for nothing then.
Which is worse.
If you have no opinions about anyone ever, then you just are walking the middle of the road, which is offensive.
It's
the people who call themselves apolitical.
Oh my
Fuck
God.
Fuck off. Okay?
In
like,
this economy?
Literally. I know that you're memeing, but I'm being serious. Like, people who are like walking the middle of the road about everything always, I'm just like, you're being dishonest. No, and I don't trust
you. Truly. I'm not memeing. Oh, dang it, I didn't get it. Son of a bitch.
I don't really care. I'm just mostly afraid that I'm gonna and then choke on it.
Oh, we have a thing with bugs, because you have a really bad. Do you want to share with the class?
Trigger warning, if bugs and like body parts are a button for you, mute this. Look away.
Avert your eyes and ears.
Twice in my lifetime.
I can't believe I've been there.
Twice in my lifetime, I've gotten a bug stuck in my ear. And when I tell you that it is the most distressing experience because you can feel it moving around in there.
I wouldn't even believe you if I didn't see it. The first time
that it happened, I was just laying in bed. I think you weren't even home. No, you were home.
No, I was definitely home because I had the windows open.
And I was just laying in bed and I heard a bug buzzing by my ear and I was like, that's annoying. And then all of a sudden it was like, into my ear. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, maybe it wasn't. And then I felt it moving around and I was like, oh, I literally started screaming. Oh. The worst part is that like your
visceral, you're like, get it out.
Your visceral reaction is to like claw at your ear. And like, I have like, little like picky, like dental picks and stuff for my teeth. And like acne stuff, like little blackhead things. And my visceral reaction was to start jamming stuff in my ear. And I was like, Mickey, don't do that. Like, be calm, be cool. It's going to be okay. We're going to get it out.
Oh, yeah, I remember, but like, you put your head sideways and
Your reaction is to like, you know, reach for it, but it doesn't help. The second time that it happened, you weren't home.
I wasn't home. Where
was I? No, I don't know. I don't know where you were. But I heard the buzzing and I was like, oh, not again. No. I literally said, not again, and smacked my ear, except that I smacked the bug in my ear and I felt it and I was screaming. Oh, and the poor dogs are so traumatized because they thought I was dying. And I was like,
I think
terrible.
The right thing to do is, I think like the swimmer's ear thing is like alcohol or something. But like, what did we do?
I truly do not know. Don't use Q-tips. I think the second time I managed to get it out by like, when you have water in your ear, if you pull on your earlobe and like, you can kind of help to loosen it. So I did that and it kind of came out and then I killed it, obviously. It was tiny. It was a little gnat, to be clear. It was almost worse. It was awful. Terrible. All bad. So now when I sleep too, I'll like put the covers and stuff over my ears.
I don't blame you at all. Also, stresses me. We like refuse to sleep with the window. Not like they're not even open, like just out in the free air.
Yeah, they're just little bugs. Anyways, we should probably talk about what we're talking about today. We spent 40 minutes fucking off.
Oh, who gives a shit?
That's fair.
We didn't get to finish the hater concept thing, I think, but I think we've wrapped it up enough to.
Aaron and I are both in our like validated hater era.
Oh, definitely.
We're not hating about things that don't make any sense, right? Like, people are allowed to like their own hobbies or interests. We're not being haters about that. But like, if you're a shitty person, then I'm gonna be a hater and I'm gonna like remind everybody who will listen that you're a shitty person.
I also think like celebrities, obviously. Something else I wanted to touch on too, I think from the last week, just as a quick, if I may, just the double standards we give to certain creators on TikTok. Like, I'm not even gonna name names, but I think it's really fucking rich. Like, I can think of like several people off the top of my hand.
Yes. Top of your head.
That like have a couple good TikToks go well and then like just fucking sell out.
Yes.
Like, I think that's the thing that is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Is like when people are like, oh, they're so much like us, like they came from, and then they like immediately, as soon as they can, they fucking flip.
We're taking quick Disney sponsorships and Coca-Cola sponsorships and
fucking like sucking the teat of capitalism.
Yeah, like, especially the ones that are like big streaming platform sponsorships and stuff. It's just like,
or like talk shows with people who are
shitty. Like doing celebrity appearances with celebrities that are terrible people and like all this stuff.
And just miss me with that shit. Like, I know.
Especially the people who, it's fine. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to get into details. We've been
enjoying.
Yes. Let's talk about Plathville.
I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
I started watching season three. Season four?
Three. You started with season three with me.
Hello, everyone. In our quest for optimism, we gave everyone entirely too much credit on this show and were immediately disappointed by the way the last episode of season four went and basically changed all of our opinions on every single character. But needless to say, we will be revisiting this with a new, fresh set of eyes. So thank you. Stay tuned and hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Bye.
Because I watched season one and two. I started watching it because my girlfriend told me about it and I was like, okay.
Like, every time, it's just a fun sentence. Like, I love that sentence.
What? My girlfriend told me about something?
I know, what a fun.
I do too. Also, she's cool as fuck.
I'm just your guy friend and you're your girlfriend.
She has sick ass TV recommendations. So shout out to her because I've watched several good shows because of her.
Does she watch the pod?
I don't know if she watches the pod. I know she watches the live stream sometimes on Friday and I feel very perceived, but also I like it.
I think your girlfriend's won bingo.
She has. Yeah, my girlfriend has actually played bingo and asked if she could exchange her bingo prize.
Which is like, which I don't tell me because really I feel like cute. Then everyone's going to be asking you to exchange their bingo. Yeah.
No, I will not be exchanging affection for bingo prizes for anyone else.
It would be cheaper.
It would be cheaper.
But yeah, the Plaths are such an, it's like, it reminds me of that show where the Amish people get to do their week.
The Rumspringa
thing. Yeah, but like, that's just like the whole, I started in season three. Yes. Season three.
Because I started watching season one and season two just like on my own. I watched it with my girlfriend and then I watched it by myself. I was like using it to fall asleep and stuff at night. And you would catch little bits here and there. But the Platts are sort of like loosely associated with like the Fundy universe.
Yeah.
But like
I
didn't know anything about them before I started watching the show. Obviously. And then I was like flabbergasted by all that happens.
It's not as Fundy. I thought it was going to be like rah-rah Jesus.
Well, it's kind of the opposite of like the Duggar show.
Yeah.
In the sense that like, even in the midst of like their son going to prison for unspeakable, disgusting crimes, their like public statement is like, praise Jesus, you know, like very keep sweet. And the Plath family is like out here talking about how I'm mad at her and she's mad at me and fuck this. And you're not allowed to come. And like all of this, like
when I heard them
drama
swear
everywhere.
The first time I was like, whoa, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And then like Kim going through her little transformation, like wearing, you know, immodest clothing. Also, we're only on season four. We haven't started season five.
Yes.
I know what happens. I don't.
Please don't.
I've seen the spoilers because of social media and all of that stuff, but Aaron has it. So don't spoil it. Don't spoil it in the comments. Let Aaron be surprised.
Also, hi everyone. If you're coming in here from after not listening to us vamping, go back and watch our vamping. It can be kind of fun sometimes. I know you're probably here. You're like, just start talking about the Plaths.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, hang out with us. Enjoy. Stay for a little.
I think most people who hang out for the pod like the vamping.
I know, but I think because it's Fundy adjacent, I feel like there's going to be people like
skippers.
When do they start talking about
That's fair.
And like,
also shout out to the people who put timestamps in the description.
You are the best. You are truly the best.
Because we forget to put them in the description a lot.
To be clear, I don't actually care if you're here from the beginning of the episode. Hi, welcome. This is There's a Lot to Unpack Here. I'm
Hi,
Aaron.
Mickey. That was fun.
Oh, did we do that at the same time? We're so cute. We're
that
simultaneously
really
so annoying and so cute.
Yes. And I'm fine with that.
Okay, so anyways, to the Plaths.
Yes.
I think, when I heard them swear the first time, I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's
so many
things.
They're also just much more transparent about their emotions and the family discord than any other reality TV show that's, like, religiously oriented.
But it's so nice, actually, too, because there's been so many great, like if you were going to open up the dictionary to, like, oh, what is this thing that's, like, going on with, like, deconstructing and, like, going to therapy. And also, too, there is a main channel video you're planning on making. Maybe
I'm
going
to talk about the Plaths in a dedicated video. I would also like to watch.
I'm excited to talk about it now.
I think they're doing a season six. I'm not sure. Am I bothering you?
We have to. No, keep doing it. That's nice.
I think they're going to do a season six. I'm not sure. But if they do,
I
would like to live stream it on the channel, which is why I'm trying to get up to date because
we've been working diligently.
Yes.
At the Atkins household. We have hunkered down.
Yes. Because when I watched Sister Wives, there was so much context that I missed out on, but like 18 seasons is just an unrealistic expectation.
I would like to go back and
the Plaths is at the point where like I could still catch up, you know, so we're doing our damnedest. So I'm going to talk about some general takeaways from the Plath family and probably mostly season five in a main channel video.
I think you should.
If there's anything that you specifically want me to cover, leave that in the comments, with like a season and an episode and then a timestamp if you have one. If not, just like a general description of what happens.
I know the Olivia stuff with the boundaries, it's been so there's so many things.
I know.
Where do you want to start, I guess? Do we just like start
where do you want to start?
Gosh, I feel like the obviously like it's the Plathville, but it's really the Olivia, Ethan, Mariah show. And God bless Nathan.
Bless
that man. He is what a young.
Watch Nathan be a terrible person and we just don't know.
Oh, fucking probably. I think it's so interesting Because I showed up and they're like out of the house. And so I was so confused.
Yes. I had to explain to Aaron what happened in season two. Because the funny thing too is that we didn't see any of that. So season one is the whole family.
Yeah.
Minus Ethan and Olivia. Because Ethan and Olivia were already married. The whole family living at the Plath family farm. Right. Yeah. Where like the girl's upstairs bedroom is actually the attic.
Yeah.
And the boy's bedroom is again just one room with a bunch of bunk beds.
Yeah.
And like they're homeschooling and Kim and Barry don't let the kids have soda. Oh, none of the kids had ever tried Coca-Cola. They didn't have ice cream. They weren't allowed to have sweets.
Anything.
There was definitely no alcohol. Barry has a weird fixation with kombucha.
Oh, yeah, what is it with a kombucha?
I don't know. It's kombucha, by the way, not kombucha.
Kombucha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And they have one laptop with a password that only Kim and Lydia know the password. Lydia's the most parentified child.
Parentified.
Yeah. But so we go from that to season two, where Micah and Mariah are now living separately. They're living in their own house. And they have apparently confronted their parents about all their gripes that they have about their homeschool education. And Ethan and Olivia are sort of like on the rocks with Kim and Barry also. And so we didn't see any of that happen, but it was like, all of a sudden, there's like these two opposing parties within the family, and like things just devolve from there. It's wild.
I think first off to start, I think the amazing thing that's like really stood out to me in this show is they're actually like pretty self-aware.
Who?
The Plaths. I think
all of them?
Not all of them, but they have these moments, like Kim especially, because I was like, okay, so we get Kim's backstory where like obviously going on.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you know, I chose to raise our children this way to protect them and like to overprotect them.
Yeah.
And then, but she acknowledges that then later on.
But then the thing though is that like she acknowledges that like, oh, I raised them this way because of this trauma or these fears and blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't acknowledge with her kids how she fucked it up. Like, she doesn't actually acknowledge that, like, what I did was wrong and that I see now that that was misguided and I did, like, you know, disadvantage her kids, for example, by not providing them with an appropriate education. Like, the weird thing is that they're aware enough to say, we're doing this because of X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
But not aware enough, or at least not, like, ethical or transparent enough to take accountability for the things that they've fucked up.
They're like, right. They're like, right there.
Which
they're
is, like, so almost close. Worse in a way.
You're kind of right now,
Yeah. It, like, makes me dislike them even more because I'm like, okay, if you can see that you overprotected your kids.
Yeah.
And, like, the part of the show that we're in right now, Kim is in her, like, wild and free era.
We just,
her and Barry are starting to get a divorce.
Where they went to the graveyard of Joshua.
Yeah. Yeah, they went and visited, and Ethan ended up going, but Olivia didn't, and that was a whole kerfuffle.
Yes.
But so in this timeline where Kim is like, oh, you know, life is short and it makes sense to have fun, while she's like getting a drink with her son, but isn't acknowledging the fact that like at one point she told her son's wife that she had evil spirits in her.
Yeah, I didn't get to see all that. So,
like,
yeah.
We didn't see any of that on camera either.
It's not on camera.
Yeah, that doesn't get disclosed until Olivia's talking head
really?
Later.
Okay.
But like, the fact that we're not willing to acknowledge that, and also that Kim will stand around and do this like confused, sad victim dance about how mean Ethan and Olivia are being to her, but then also is simultaneously acknowledging that like the way I raised my kids kind of like, I don't agree with that anymore.
Yeah, I think
that'd
be so hard.
Of course they're mad at you.
Can you
what
imagine?
What do you mean?
I would be so mad. Also, I feel so bad for those younger kids because like, at
that
least
has to be so confusing.
At, Kim really was just like, I don't feel like being married to Barry anymore. Get bent, everybody.
And
like,
that also means I'm not a mom anymore, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Lydia's over here talking about like, oh, you know, keeping it down. Also, that scene, oh my gosh, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's not so funny. It's actually really sad. But when Mariah, I think, oh, they're talking about, oh, what was her boyfriend's name?
Max.
And Mariah's like going on, and then Lydia's like, well, you know, you just got to be graceful. And she's like, oh, well, I went and I told him he was forgiven. And Mariah was like, we deal with stuff differently. And like, also, it wasn't your spot to forgive him.
She was like, he didn't like, do anything to you.
Yeah.
You don't have anything to forgive him for.
And Lydia's just like, oh, well, you know, like, you just got to be great, like, the grace
of
God.
Yeah, you have to like
and
give grace. You have to give forgiveness.
And
blah,
Mariah's
blah,
just
blah.
Like, yeah. You can just tell she's like, I don't really believe in that shit anymore.
Well, and Mariah's like, hey, but that's hurtful. Like, just because you forgave him doesn't mean that I did. And so, like, you hanging out with him is so shady.
Yes.
And then to her credit, Lydia does cry and talk about how she doesn't.
Of course.
She didn't realize that she was hurting her sister. But, like, very much, like, a stark contrast of the way that, like, Christianity conceptualizes forgiveness as this, like, get out of jail free card. Like, if you just say the words forgiveness, then, like, you're free. It reminds me of that scene in Georgia Rule where Harlan is like, if you just give me forgiveness. And she's like, you're forgiven. Forgiven. Yes. Yeah. Literally, that's what.
Oh, that movie is so good.
I really like Georgia Rule. But that whole like paradigm of just like, abracadabra, like it doesn't work like that. Yeah, it's like so bizarre. Yeah, the Christian perspective about forgiveness is so backwards.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
Also, too, I want to talk about the dynamic. I don't know, because I'm sure there's so much stuff that happens off camera and stuff too.
Yeah,
but Barry and Kim, and it's like this whole time and they're talking heads where they're like, you know, like the marriage is just over. It's whatever it is, and like of course understand, like morally neutral to get a divorce and all those things or whatever.
Yeah.
But like the way they talk about it is so funny because they're like, you know, we can't do anything else. Like they're like, you know, we've done everything we could do and we're just done. They're like, have you guys like counseling or like talked about it?
Literally.
At least the way the show's presented to us. You would think they were like,
yes.
Kim was like, hey, I'm getting a divorce. I'm moving out.
Yes.
And Barry was like, well,
you what, know, can you do? I'm coming to peace with that.
You know?
Barry, hello?
Like, fight, motherfucker. Like,
but also that like, she, like, because I don't agree with anybody in this show, to be clear.
Fair, totally.
Except for maybe Olivia sometimes.
Olivia, though, like, I felt that way at first. And then, like, as time goes on, I'm like, ooh, you're kind of weaponizing you going to therapy a little bit.
Okay, but then also at the same time, like, I think it's helpful to remember that she's 23 years old.
I know, I have to remind myself. Also, it doesn't help.
Because, like, the maturity that her and Ethan operate with is, like, so very much parentified child energy.
Yes.
That, like, they're not actually adults. Her frontal lobe isn't even done at the point that we're like, watching in the show.
Yes. Also, you know? Too, like, they are probably so stunted.
She's probably definitely 25 now. But.
No, yeah. But they're probably so, also, too, like, whatever regular skills you would have at that age.
Yes.
Like, subtract probably, like, 10 years,
She's never seen conflict resolution, let alone healthy conflict resolution.
Did you ever learn anything about her family?
She doesn't talk to any of her family because they also told her that she had evil spirits and that she was demonic.
Can you, honestly, when you say that, though, that makes a little more sense why she's so sensitive to that stuff, too.
Well, and also that, like, she is fleshing out the therapy skills that, like, you and I learned as, like, 19, 20-year-olds like, you know, we also did all of that learning away from our families, right? Like, we were still in contact with our families.
True.
But, like, we weren't hanging out with them all day, every day.
We weren't.
And so we were doing all of this identity work, like, somewhat privately and, like, fleshing out these skills with one another.
Yeah.
Whereas, first of all, Ethan really doesn't engage with her emotionally, like, a lot of the time. He just shuts down. And, like, that's because his parents traumatized him to the dickens.
And also,
but, like, she's fleshing out these conflict resolution skills with mostly Kim and Barry and Mariah.
And Mariah, yeah.
Because she has, like, very little other contact in the world and also, like, has no concept of what she's trying to do. It's like watching somebody in an adult's body do the emotional processing of a teenager, you know?
Also, real quick,
she's so ill-equipped.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. What?
That scene when they're at the bar, the sin bar or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Can we just talk about someone on cable television said to the world, said to us, told us with her full ass chest out. I don't know how many drinks they've had at this point.
Sure.
But her sin was cheating on her boyfriend after a week of being together.
Yeah.
And said it like, ha ha ha. What?
Also, for context.
Why did you admit that?
For those of you who are not aware, there's a point in the show where Olivia goes out with her friends to a bar that has like a
sin
or like hell theme.
Yeah.
And so the waiter tells them that one of the things we do in the bar is like a little activity is we have this wall where people admit their like sins or whatever.
Yeah.
And if your sin is like wild enough, then we'll put it on the wall. So they hand out these little pieces of paper and tell everybody write down your, you know, craziest sin. And then if it's like wild, we'll put it on the bar. And one of the friends that Olivia is there with that, like, to be fair, I guess she didn't really know, but this woman is like, let me tell you guys mine. It's that the only long-term relationship I've ever had, I cheated on him within the first week with some random man at a music festival. But it's like, whatever, right? People make mistakes. But she's like, like it's so.
That's not cool. That's really fucked up.
That's really mean.
That's so mean.
That's like really hurtful.
Also, the dude probably has trust issue now, like big time.
But like admitting that, like you're admitting to like taking a piss behind a 7-Eleven or something. It's like not the same. That's so intense.
Also, can we talk about within like the span? Also, this is where I get to like the Ethan and Olivia dynamics here. Like that man has no idea how, like, because I know they like go back and forth between separating and divorce and stuff very much, at least where we're at right now.
Yeah.
But like that man has like will never pull again like that. Let
He's
me tell you.
Really punching he, above he his got, weight
He got
right
21
now.
On his first hand.
Yeah.
And
very
like
lucky.
Debating on fucking tapping for another card.
Yeah.
Because like also Olivia, we talked about this thing too. This tied into the women raise their daughters and love their sons.
Yeah, we raise our daughters and love our sons.
Because the way that, like, you can see it so, like, the way it plays out is, like, Olivia very much has her own sense of self. Yes. She, like, has hobbies.
Yeah.
Does music, obviously plays, I mean, she's religious, so I'm sure they started playing piano when she was two.
Sure, yeah.
And then, like, the
photography stuff.
And, you know, like, has much more, like, obviously choosing to go to therapy on her own.
No, yeah, I think that's a good part of, like, her identity development. But, like, also, too, that in these moments on the show where they're talking about, like, planning for a thing or, like, especially a thing that is a point of contention for them is communication.
Yes.
So Ethan will just haul off and buy something, that's, like, he bought a motorcycle.
That's right? What I'm getting to. Yes.
And is confused about why Olivia is upset. And it's because, like, he has no concept about, like Olivia, it seems like, was really subjected to this, like, very fundy eldest daughter thing of,
she,
like,
the oldest of her?
I think so. Okay. Like, one of the older ones anyways, for sure. That, like, you have to be the organizer. You have to be the fixer the healer and the caretaker. You have to hold everything for everyone all the time. Mm-hmm. And also look pretty while you're doing it, right? Yeah. Like, never a hair out of place. You can't falter or not smile. Like, you have to be happy to be dehumanized into being this like perfect logistics manager, like, and mother and caretaker and, like, manager of all of the things.
Yes.
And then Ethan is out here being like, I don't understand why you're upset that I just went and bought a motorcycle without asking you, even though we share finances.
Also,
like, hello, also, what do you mean?
Is this the 90s, that episode where Ethan shows up? So he'd been in Cairo for working on his car.
Yeah.
The cars thing is crazy to me. As a person who loves cars, like, I would have, if we had the funds and space, like, I get it.
It's a legitimate hobby.
Validate that as, like, again, a person who's totally been there.
Sure.
But, like, can you imagine, one, like, okay, so I'm going to go back home for 2 weeks.
Sure.
But then, like, you can't get a hold of me. She said she called him 16 times and last. She was like, and
he answered once.
Yeah.
The way that I would have called 911.
Like, beside.
Like, that's like not okay.
Earth. I'm not saying, okay. But also, too, like, it's not even a matter of, like, oh, you need to be available to be picked up right now. Like,
No.
But, like, the, like, any form of communication.
It's the lack of consideration for how that would make her feel.
You would think it's, like,
What's so flabbergasting to me. Because besides the fact that it's, like, a legitimate safety concern, if you didn't answer your phone, like, if you go to, like, the other day you went and picked us up breakfast burritos.
I went and got a little surprise and took
You surprised me by getting a Dr. Pepper because we tried to get one the night before and it didn't work out. So
you have to go to a special place to get Dr. Pepper. That's important.
So it just took you, like, I don't know, 10 minutes longer probably than it normally did. And I texted you because I was like, Punkin, are you okay? Like, are you all right? And then you got home like 2 seconds later.
No, I know. I was like, fuck.
But, like, if you had not responded to that text for, like, longer than 15 minutes, probably, I'm calling. And then if you're not answering, I'm freaking out. Like, DEFCON 11. Because, like, that's just, there's no world where, like, that's not going to activate my anxiety about your safety. Uh-huh. But on top of that, like, that's your life partner, man.
That's what I'm
saying. You don't have, like, a sense of, like, respect or compassion for her wanting to just, like, be in touch with you? Like, even if it's not a safety thing.
Yeah.
Even if she does have reason to believe that you're safe, like, just... Like, it takes two seconds to say, hey, super busy, call you later.
Also, too, like, I get, like, he's riding his bike and stuff up and down, back and forth or whatever.
Sure.
But also, like, so you can, like, text per se or whatever, but, like, you're getting gas at some point.
I was going to say,
like,
pull off at a gas station.
Yeah, like.
You have to take a bathroom break at some point. I know that you're eating at some point. In 16 days, there have been many, many opportunities for you.
But then can you imagine?
Pause and send a text message.
When that person was going to come home and then showing up in an Uber. I mean, like, oh, sorry, my bike that I just bought died on the highway somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get it.
Well, and then he, like, basically runs inside and closes the door on her and refuses to talk to her.
Because he got mad at her for being mad at him.
Like, hello? The like, communication breakdown between the two of them is maddening to me. It really pushes my buttons, honestly. It's hard to watch.
Also, too, it is hard to watch because it reminds me of, like, all those couples on Love is Blind, again, where, like, the dude is just doing the least.
Yes.
And the woman is just, like, happy to chase, like, the femme person.
The thing that's so sad, though, is that, like, Olivia is asking for the bare minimum in those moments.
Oh, so low, the bar. Right?
And Ethan is still acting as though Olivia is reaching for the stars, which is wild to me.
I know, that episode where they're going to the grave and the gravesite, and she's like, oh, well, I'm not going to go if Kim's going. But, like, Mariah put this thing together.
Yeah.
So, like, this is where, like, that thing where, like, like, no one is being supported in this moment because Olivia's not being supported. Mm-hmm. Ethan's not being supported because obviously that is a super traumatizing thing to go to the graveside of your, like, late brother.
Yeah.
But also, like, and then they get, like, mad at each other and get a blow up. But then Olivia's eventually just, like, kind of caves in. And so it's, like, hard to, like, this dichotomy of just, like,
Well, it's like a continual cycle of, like, we do or say things to each other that hurt each other's feelings.
Yeah.
But then we don't talk about it. We don't acknowledge it. We don't work through it. We resolve it by somebody eventually just going, oh, well. And
making,
like,
a joke.
Yeah. Showing back up. And then, like, we start anew. We just keep doing this. We're like, there's never really any concrete resolution. Nobody ever really talks about how they feel. It's just like, like a weird series of half honest interactions that is like, it reminds me of the sitcom thing when, like,
oh my God,
in
it
a
is.
Sitcom where, like, there is a problem that we could solve in 2 seconds if y'all just say one thing out loud, the whole, like, first but they three, don't. Yes. So it's a whole episode of being like, just tell them.
Fuck, man.
Absolutely so annoying.
I will say the pacing on the show is much better than I thought it was going to be. Them having the dynamics also too. I think it's so funny that Barry and Kim as, like, the matriarch patriarch.
Yeah.
And they're, like, not in the show at all.
I, like, think
is that on purpose, you think?
I think it was that way in the later seasons just because of the way things kind of shook out.
Probably not as exciting either, I would imagine, as the goings on. It's so interesting watching them, especially, like, Micah and stuff.
I know.
Just, like, it's so funny watching, like, young adults, but, like, really become, like, young adults. Like,
yes,
Mariah,
they're their
especially.
Children. Yeah.
Like, Mariah's outfits are my favorite. Like, they're...
It's, like, so... If you put it all in a slideshow, you could, like, watch the progression of somebody trying to find their identity.
And it's wonderful.
Because it's, like,
it's
such
so
a teenager thing.
It is.
Yeah, it's just funny.
It.
Like, watching somebody experiment with, like, their style and their aesthetic.
And, like,
and, like,
makeup.
Yeah,
and
like, gender presentation and all that stuff. Just, like, finding her footing is really funny because it's, like, a thing that a lot of people do when they're, like, young teenagers.
Yes.
But she's doing it as, like, a 19, 20-year-old because she's never had that opportunity before now.
Are the Plaths well-liked? Like, what is the like,
I don't think
the vibe of... Because obviously I'm sure they're religious, or they are religious. So I'm curious what they're, like... Are we aware of their, like, are they shitty, awful people outside of the show, or?
Well, it's complicated.
Because I don't know anything.
Yeah. The only things that I know are what I've seen from, like, social media.
Okay.
About the current timeline, which I don't want to spoil for you because there are, like, some interpersonal conflicts that come up that, like, I want you to be able to go in with, like, you know, fresh eyes and ears. But generally speaking, like, not well-liked, I would say.
It doesn't surprise me because I feel like in real life, they're probably...
There's some revelations that will happen that will be...
On the show? Or, like,
that will just be, like, a little jarring.
I feel like... I can just see... I don't know why. I feel like everyone in those... I just feel like, I'm sure, like, it's probably all Trump supporter-coded. I feel like outside... Like, I always have to remind myself, like, you're probably voting for Trump. Gross.
Definitely,
And
there's
so
there's definitely some energy of that.
Yeah, and so I'm curious. Yeah. Always,
not,
like,
all of them, to be fair, I don't think, but certainly
I'm always
some
so curious,
of them.
Like, just with that in mind, like, very, like, Republican coded, like, how that translates outside of the show. Because, like, if you take politics and stuff aside, like, it's interesting watching these people move through and deconstruct.
Yeah.
And, like, also, you can't tell me. And, like, obviously, I know Kim, like, obviously sacrificed a lot, I'm sure, raising that many kids and pumping that many kids out so quickly.
Sure, yeah.
But,
no,
like,
of course.
Also, you can't tell me her deciding, like, rules for thee, not for me thing wasn't because she saw Olivia and Ethan and Mariah.
And Mariah and Micah.
Just, like, fucking say...
Yes, and, like, actually fucking, having fun.
Yes, and enjoying themselves, and her being like, well, fuck, I want to have fun.
Yes, I think the other thing that's at the heart of that issue, too, is that especially Micah and Mariah have a really interesting, like, sibling bond. You know,
they do have,
Where, like, I think they're sort of kindred spirits because they were the first kids to, like, break away from the family besides Ethan. Because Ethan and Olivia have always been kind of a package deal because they were married and deconstructing together simultaneously.
Yeah.
But Micah and Mariah were the oldest kids, like, left at home.
Yeah.
And so they, like, left together. So their little sibling bond is really interesting because, like, you can see, like, I was telling you when we were watching the show last night that, like, you can see the difference in the way that they just, like, relate to each other.
Oh, absolutely.
As like the deconstructed kids versus the not deconstructed kids.
Oh, it's like two
where,
different,
like,
worlds.
There is a moment between Ethan and Lydia where he goes to, like, hug her in the, like, side hug, Fundy approved way.
Yes.
And, like, it's like this weird faltering thing because he's gotten used to showing affection to people genuinely where you just hug them like a normal person.
Yeah.
And then like you see his brain like, go, oh, nope, side hug. No, well, oh, it's okay. It's like a weird sort of halting dance that they do. But I feel like Kim saw that their relationships with each other evolved past this like surface level, very polite and formal relationship to like genuinely seeing each other and being more close,
like themselves,
and I feel like she was envious of that because there is like such a, it's like a, like an emotional prison that a lot of, especially fundy women get locked into, where like, you're not allowed to be authentic, right? Because you're not allowed to be angry.
That's so sad.
You're never allowed to be upset or cross, you know, don't be rude to your husband. And so it limits how connected you can really be, you know, but then these kids started deconstructing and started having like real fucking relationships with each other and with other people. And I feel like to some degree, Kim was probably envious of that, especially like what she says about her relationship with Barry and like not feeling seen and not feeling appreciated and being like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Right. Like Ethan, for all of their flaws, Ethan like stood up for Olivia and like really had her back. And like, when has Barry ever done that for me? You know, I don't like Barry or Kim, to be clear. I don't like any of these fucking people really.
Yeah.
But I do respect
with what we've been presented.
Respect the authenticity in Ethan and Olivia, like genuinely having each other's backs in those moments, you know? And I think like I have an empathy for people like Kim because like that has to suck.
Oh.
Being in a relationship and a marriage where like you've been devoted to nothing more than a womb.
I think that's, this is so especially sad. One of those areas too where like just again to acknowledge the gray of it.
Yeah.
And that like I'm very open, you know, as your number one hating ass. I am ready to fine. Don't spoil it yet.
Don't
let me finish
spoil
the season.
It.
Please let me finish the season. But I am very well open to the idea that they are probably all shitty, awful people, and again, like bigoted and awful.
Yeah.
Like in what has been presented to the to me in the information that I have right now. Mm-hmm. Like I think it's that dream or like the pipeline of like deconstruction to like moderate to a person
to
who's like a social activist. Who like, you know, is like kind of like the thing you went through.
Yeah.
Where you're like deeply religious and then became.
Yeah. And realizing that like today. Actually that sucks.
Yes. And so like, I'm like, oh, like it's like they're like, they're giving me like the little turtles, you know, the turtles that come out of their shell and they got to walk on the beach.
Yeah.
They got to crawl.
Like, you can do it.
You can make it to the ocean. You just got to make it to the ocean. Get out.
I believe in you.
Yeah,
guy.
And then once they get there, then they get to be free in a way.
Yes.
But also, I'm so scared for Lydia because she's 18, hasn't chosen to move out yet.
No.
And it's like, my impression is she just works all the time and then now is fulfilling Kim's role.
Yeah.
Because she talks about too, like,
she homeschools
holding it
the
together
kids.
And doing the schoolwork with the kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, like, you got, because she was like, oh, no, I'm going to stay and stick around. Because I think they ask her if she wants to move out.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, I
not
need to,
really.
I need to stay here and hold it. And like being a not a parent, but like a confidant for both
of her parents.
Talk about triangulating.
So inappropriate.
Oh, it's hard to watch.
The other thing
so
that's
hard.
Sad too is hearing her say explicitly that like, it's not about her and it's important that she be there for her family. Like she's trying to be like
very much
a pillar of strength for her family right now. And like, no one is showing up for Lydia. Like Lydia does everything for everyone else, but nobody ever has Lydia's back.
Yeah.
Least of all her fucking parents.
Fuck,
and they just like use her for her emotional labor.
Oh my God.
In like, you know, like wanting to confide in her on all this stuff,
also
for like, you know, raise your siblings and deal with all of this discord with your brother and his wife and like all this other stuff. Like Lydia does not get to be a child ever.
No, Kim literally was like that one night when she's like, no, I'm not coming home. Like you guys can figure out dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
She doesn't say it quite like that, but like, she's
kinda
like, oh,
though.
To Barry, she's like, oh, you know, just have Lydia make the meat and cook the stuff and like, get taco night ready.
Have the girls like cut the meat and cook it and whatever.
Like,
and like
Barry, that's why your fucking wife is leaving, dude.
Yes.
What do you mean you can't fucking put together white people taco night?
But also like fuck Kim for being like, you know, oh, well, like I've been deprived.
It's all bad.
And so therefore, like, I'm going to get mine and like, you know, fuck these kids, I guess. Like, that's not fair. I can empathize with the fact that she had her life stolen from her by fundamentalism.
Totally.
But also I deeply disrespect the decision to like, essentially spite your children.
Because they didn't do that.
Exactly.
They didn't choose. Yeah.
You are the one who chose to bring them here. You made those choices. Your kids did not ask to be here. And the very fucking least that you can do after making this decision is to fucking show up for them. Like, finish what you started.
Yeah.
Be a fucking parent. Like, you don't have to be married to be a good parent.
No, not at all.
You don't have to be with Barry to be a fucking good mom. Like, try a little. And Barry just being like, oh, well, you know, I don't know how to do anything. Sir, learn.
Also,
Google it. Go to the library. Fucking read a book, dog. What are you doing?
I just...
like, I just don't... I don't respect either of the way that they handle, like, the divorce process. Because they both are just like, ooh. And then here's Lydia being forced to pick up the pieces. Like, it's so sad.
I just...
It's really, really disheartening. I think also I have probably like an extra amount of vitriol for Kim and Barry because like I was Lydia, you know?
I know.
So I think I identify with her to an inappropriate amount.
I was Ethan.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Not anymore.
No. And thankfully you were never like uncaring like that.
No.
Because even in moments where like you would feel scared of expressing your emotions, you were never mean or like you never shut me out. You would just express to me that you were scared of expressing your emotions.
This week has been a big growth week, if I may share.
Please do.
We had a really big blow up yesterday. We didn't have a blow up fight.
It was not a blow up,
but it was a good one. It wasn't a quiet one.
We didn't yell at each other, did we?
No, we talked.
We were speaking sternly.
Firmly. Yeah.
There was one point where I told you you were yelling at me, but you weren't yelling.
I'm like, huh?
And there was one point that I told you you were yelling at me, but you weren't actually yelling.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, I don't
think. You were like raising your voice a little.
No, okay, see, that's the thing too. I never yell. I can think of how often, when was the last time I yelled at you? Be for real.
Pumpkin.
Yell because we were arguing?
Yeah.
When have I ever?
You're yelling right now.
I'm yelling. No, I'm raising my voice. Okay, I guess that is
see?
Fine. I'm yelling.
Just because you're not like it's not like screaming. It's not like screeching or anything, but fine. You do raise your voice.
I associate yelling.
We both do, to be clear.
That's fair. I associate yelling. We are very sensey. Yeah,
we're very verbose people.
We are verbose.
We're loud when we're just being normal.
Oh, couldn't. Yeah.
Let alone when we're emotional.
Okay, so I may have raised my voice.
Yeah.
But anyways, we were talking sternly and you know, I can't remember the thought that went through my head, or I was like expressing some of the stuff that had been going on and like just communicating with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I think you said something. I was like, I'm choosing to be uncomfortable with you right now.
Yeah.
That we can continue to move through this and not like take a break thing. Cause very much our dynamic used to be that we would, you know, like have a fucking pissing match and then fucking.
I would say like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
I need a break. And then you would basically just like exist.
Peace out, brain off.
Yeah. Like in stasis until
just waiting.
Done processing. And then I'd come to talk to you and you'd be like, I don't know.
I didn't think
was I supposed to do anything? Like, yeah.
It wasn't turned on the whole time. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
But then I was in lessons today.
Yeah.
And I was having trouble with something. And I was like, you know, and I was like, I just like stopped for a second. I was like, if I'm having trouble with this, it probably just means it's an area I need to work on.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, it just kind of.
And like,
just
that's
clicked.
Fine.
And then it clicked. Yeah. And I was like, it's okay.
I'm proud of you for being nice to
good.
Yourself.
You don't need to be good at everything the first time.
Yes,
especially, I think it's
or
hard
ever, really.
Whenever, I think it's especially too when people are watching kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
But like, absolutely. I know you especially feel that. Yeah.
It's the observer effect.
Oh, God. It's when someone's scary. Watching, you're like, no, I'll do it perfectly. It's fine. Just like.
Yes.
Just.
And also if I don't do it perfectly, then I'm like, fuck. I'm I hate failure. Myself.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
No. And I think that's like very much. I'm curious like how these people are off camera and then how they are on, because we've talked about that with Olivia and Ethan, and I was like there's no fucking way this conversation was this nonchalant.
No.
Like they had to have been addressing this before.
I think especially with the Plaths, there's a fair amount of like, hey, can you just rehash this conversation
has to be.
That y'all had off camera so that we can have footage of something? Because like it seems like a lot of their conflict happens off camera, which honestly fair.
Oh,
I wouldn't
so
want my
fair.
Conflict filmed either.
Fucking same.
You know? But yeah, I think it's just a good reminder, I guess, about how fabricated most of reality TV is, where like, especially in those moments where producers are like, okay, well, we don't have footage of it. And so therefore it didn't happen.
Yes.
So have the conversation again, you know? And like, it's literally just made up. They're being like, prompted to do this.
Cause I remember like the Ethan with the coming home with the bike thing, the Uber and all that. And I'm like, there's no way anyone in their right mind. I'm like, that has to be staged. Right?
I don't know. Maybe.
Being a producer would be like being a therapist and then being a producer on a show would be banging, because you would be asking the best, you know, when they ask
Yes.
questions.
Yeah. In the talking heads. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Like I would love that. Yeah, because I feel like you'd be getting the best information out of people. Yes,
especially too, like it's helpful to remember that like if they have a camera angle of something, that means that there was a producer and production people that had to crawl in that car and either like
set up. I have to remind myself that. They had to
set up a GoPro or like there is a camera person crouched in the back seat filming all of this. Yes. And so this is not happening as off the cuff as you think it is.
No, there's no way, you know? Right?
There's like a whole world of preamble and prep that goes into seeing these moments. Yes. So like it's not as spontaneous as it seems. It's like very produced, you know?
Speaking of very produced.
Yeah, we should probably call it because we've been chit-chatting for a while.
We're actually not produced. But... If you do want to talk about it, just put like a TW or not or a little spoiler in the YouTube comments because please share.
Yeah.
Also, actually share what you have. Mm-hmm. And then when we finish the show, which will be not very long from now.
Yeah, that's
by the time
true.
This goes up.
Yeah.
Actually, I might be done. We might be done.
We might be done with the whole season or the whole show.
Yeah. Leave us your comments about what I need to know or steer clear of or what I didn't catch in the show.
Let us know what your thoughts are. Yes. I know that there is like a whole world of discourse about the Plath family.
Are they pretty like popular among the
Just because there's 5 seasons, so there's a lot of content unpack, you know.
Would you say it's like Duggars, sister wives, Plaths, or like is there
I don't know
can
actually.
Can I get a ranking?
Yeah, like, put that in the comments also. What's your ranking of like how because I don't really know. I really fuck with the Duggar family like that.
I've never watched any of the shows ever.
I remember watching it when I was a kid because my parents were weirdly fascinated with it.
Isn't this crazy? It was just on TV. Like, they were really trying to
push this. Dangerous. So dangerous. I know a lot about the Duggar family because I've done a lot of research on the Duggar family.
Of course.
Sister Wives is probably the family that I know the least about because I've only seen the most recent season. Yeah. But, like, the Plaths, too, like, they weren't on my radar at all until Abby mentioned it, you know?
Yeah.
So I just am, like... sort of figuring out what's going on.
We're getting our feet
on.
I feel better about this. This is nice. We've kind of both gotten to learn about them together.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, I'm sure that there's like a whole world of discourse that I'm like late to the party on because I know that the show's obviously been up for a while. But like, you know, it's fine.
We can only know so much about so many things.
Yes, exactly.
Share us your thoughts.
Brain is full. Share us your thoughts.
Make our brain fuller. Make full. My food.
What did you say?
Make full. I don't even know.
Waifu?
No, I said make full. Make full brain.
Make full?
Brain.
Full.
Full.
Make brain full. Got it. Wow. That was really something.
And with that, I think it's time to get out of here.
We're going
to
go. If you guys want to support the show or the pod or whatever, you can like the episodes and subscribe and leave us 5-star reviews and all of those things.
Mickey streams on Fridays tomorrow.
Yes. By the time you're seeing this, I'll be live tomorrow to either watch reality TV or just like hang out with you guys.
Who knows?
So coming out, it's fun. And then we'll see you for the next one.
Okay, cool.
All right. Bye.